Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. How and when did this world come into existence? Now, friend, this is a matter of concern that eventually confronts every serious-minded person who seeks to understand even the elementary matters of the world of which he is a part. When understood, the answer brings peace and joy and strength and purpose and dignity. And when left unresolved, it creates doubt, meaninglessness, unrest, uncertainty, and produces conduct that is destructive. In Acts 17, verse 24 through 28, Paul said, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeth he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also as your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now we live in a universe of innumerable bodies that involve natural laws. We cannot escape acknowledging the existence of the universe. Now where and when and how did it come into existence, including man? Paul said, God did it. Now in our time, we have many who have forsaken this explanation. They've turned to science, they think, to give us the answers. Now, science is incapable of discovering our origins. Now, we do not minimize the magnitude of contributions from the field of science to say that. But we do not think it is without limit. Science is limited to what can be observed and measured. The fact places origins, such as our world, beyond the grasp of science. Scientists have developed many theories about it, however. Some have said that matter, that which science weighs and measures and observes, is eternal in nature. Others have said that the world came into being by accident, by random chance, a spontaneous event that somehow, some way, at some time, just happened without reason and without purpose. From what they have developed, various theories about the origins of man, such as organic evolution, that man and all other living things, whether animal or vegetable, they've all come from the same accidentally produced single cell. That their theories contradict each other, that they're even self-contradictory, has not caused many of the world's so-called wise men to discard them, because they have only one other alternative to their theories, and that is that, like Paul said, God brought it into being. And that explanation they've already decided, they're just simply not going to accept. One is naive to think that scientists are always open-minded and honest with the evidence. It is interesting how, in the face of fallacies of their theories, some scientists have simply abandoned the search for the answer and have announced that there is no answer. And they think that if they do not know, that nobody can know. Well, the origin of this world cannot be seen, of course. It can't be weighed and measured and observed, not as it happened. There was no man to witness its beginning. Our answers must come not from observation, but from revelation. That's the only alternative. Our information from revelation is that the world was created by God, Genesis 1 and verse 1, Exodus 20 and verse 11. Now, what is the biblical doctrine of creation? Both the Old and New Testaments contend that God is the Creator and is to be so worshipped. You remove or destroy this record, you destroy the integrity of any and all parts of the biblical record. If the scripture is false on this point, there is no reason to have confidence in anything that it teaches us. Creation was a free act of God whereby he, according to his sovereign will and for his own glory, in the beginning brought forth a whole visible, invisible universe without the use of pre-existing material. He brought it into being by the sheer power of his word. Now the word create means something out of nothing. It also is the translation of the word bara, which is used only where God is the acting one. Fiat creation, creation as the result of decree, order and command by God, by authoritative sanction. This is what the Bible teaches about the creation. Dear friend, either God, who is spirit, or matter is eternal. If both are eternal, God cannot be assumed to be the greater of the two. If the world was made from something already existent, from whence did the already existing matter come? Who or what brought it into being? Scientists have already proven by things that they can demonstrate that matter is not eternal. To contend that both God and matter are eternal is to dodge an answer and to offer a self-contradictory hypothesis. If God made the world from matter that already existed, you still face the problem of origin, the origin of the already existent matter. Therefore, the argument for the eternal nature of matter fails to answer our question. In Romans 4 and verse 17, God called those things which be not as though they were. Hebrews 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Yes, the Bible denies the eternal nature of matter. Friend, God voluntarily created the world, and he exists absolutely independently of and before the existence of this world. He is the cause of this world's existence. Genesis 1 and verse 1 shows God clearly distinguished from the heaven and the earth which he created. Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. In John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Isaiah 45 and verse 18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. You see, all the details of how God did this, other than that he spoke and it was so and it was good, all these details are not revealed to us. We can add to the many speculations that this would not be profitable, but from nothing God produced this world. Well, now, is that reasonable? Is it credible? And we answer yes to both questions and proceed now to show you why. The law of cause and effect is accepted by all reasonable people. That the world exists cannot be sensibly denied. The world, therefore, had a cause. Now, Genesis records God as that first cause. Science proceeds in all of its investigations on the validity of the law of cause and effect, having proved and demonstrated that law over and over. Science relies on the validity of the law of cause and effect. The law is reasonable, also regarding the origin of the world. The first cause was either mind or it was matter. The universe consists of both mind and matter. Did mind produce matter, as the Bible says? Or did matter produce mind? Science itself has shown that matter is not eternal. It's proved it through the laws that are called the laws of thermodynamics, contending that the earth is running down, it's wearing out. Friend, if it was eternal, it would have already been gone. Furthermore, things of matter left to themselves go from order to disorder, which is, by the way, the very opposite of what evolution and other hypothetical arguments demand. And additionally, science itself shows that matter does not produce mind. Does the nest create the bird, or is it vice versa? Does the automobile bring into existence the driver? Does the telescope create the astronomer? Friend, life does not originate from dead matter. What if science created life in the laboratory, which they have not done? It would only prove the necessity of the action of a disciplined and controlled mind to produce it. Once we heard a noted commentator over the television declare that scientists had created life in the laboratory. Actually, as the report revealed, they had simply combined some non-living material with living material, and the result lived. But friend, that's not startling. This is what happens every time I eat a good biscuit. Production of life in the laboratory would only affirm what the Bible believers have been saying all along. It came not into existence by accident, but from the operation of mind. And it is futile to deny the design and the orderliness and the systems of this world. And design demands a designer, a mind. Hebrews 3 and verse 4, every house is builded by some man, and he that built all things is God. To contend that a house just happened would be cause to consider the contender's sanity for even having thought of such a thing. Existence of morality proves mind before matter. Matter has no conscience, it has no oughtness, it has no morals, nor can matter produce such. There is no moral standard by which the rocks and the trees are to be governed. The very existence of a moral code demands the previous existence of mind that produced that code. The purpose of Genesis' record is to show man that the world which exists does so by the creativity of God, and that God alone is the creator. God thereby reveals his existence to mankind and his eternal nature by nature itself, Romans 1 and verse 20. He reveals to man man's dignity, inasmuch as man is created in the spiritual image of God. The Bible is not intended to teach science, even though scientifically it is accurate in those things which it does reveal. If the Genesis record is false, then the Bible is false, and all the dire consequences to man would follow. And this would create a total void of any genuine and dependable authority for mankind whatsoever, and there would be no authority for any morality whatsoever. Creation was accomplished in 6 days, according to Exodus 20 and verse 11 and Genesis chapter 1. And these days had an evening and a morning, just as do our days. The word day comes from the Hebrew word yom, Y-O-M, meaning what we call a solar or 24-hour day when it is used with a numeral. In the biblical record, it is used with a numeral regarding creation. There's no reason to think otherwise, either from the findings of science or the language of the Bible. This idea that the days might be long periods of time was born of the desire to accommodate the evolutionary hypothesis. If long periods of time are meant in the word day, it would make the Genesis record scientifically impossible. The eons of darkness would destroy the very life that was supposed to be evolving. It would place the life of Adam into the millions of years. Furthermore, the geological conditions of our world do not demand long periods of time. We must remember that there is a difference between actual and apparent age. Even the cosmetic industry will insist on this. Adam was created full grown, and so was the world where God placed him. The actual age of the earth is not revealed. But there is no condition or finding that cannot be explained within the framework of the miracle of creation and the flood at the time of Noah. Believers need not compromise one biblical revelation with a skeptical and blasphemous so-called scientist, who are more a determined atheistic, evolutionistic, humanistic horde than honest people of science. People who would deny everything that would give man dignity. Christ and Paul received Genesis and its record as accurate, actual, historical, and literal. Now, if they were wrong, then Christ is not deity, and Paul was a liar rather than an inspired teacher and a revealer of truth. The Bible would be a gross, fraudulent hoax. One either accepts Genesis, or he rejects the entire scripture, and there is no middle ground. With the creation, God fixed certain laws of procreation and reproduction. Each was to produce after its own kind. Scientists have proved repeatedly that this is the way things are. There is no scientific evidence for organic evolution. Darwinian evolution, atheistic evolution, theistic evolution, or even agnostic evolution. Any accommodation with such false teaching is to accommodate that which unbelievers have created in their attempt to replace the wisdom of God with their own wisdom. Of course, this has been a smear on the history of man since the Garden of Eden, and it is still a rampant, arrogant, dishonest effort, even now, through the claim of the so-called superiors that they know more than God could have ever thought. Friend, to deny God and His creation record forces us to ask, what then would be the meaning of man's existence? If we came as a result of some materialistic accident, came from nowhere for no reason and going nowhere but to the grave, why life itself? What despair and uselessness the theories of men impose upon mankind. They would destroy every evidence of the dignity of mankind. Man is reduced to just another meaningless animal among animals in a no-reason existence. Now, if that is so, and thank God it's not, there would be no reason to behave in any certain way. There would be no morality, no law, no purpose. There would be nothing. Of course, this is what indulgent people really want. With the growth of this idea in the minds of people, we are seeing the corresponding results of accepting just about any so-called philosophy and behavior you can think about. And without God, there is nothing but hopelessness and destruction into nothingness. Wherein would there be any motivation for doing anything good? Indeed, who could say what was and was not good anyway? Man's problem through the ages has been his attempt to relieve himself from accountability to God. And in order to do this, he must deny the existence of God. Therefore, he concocts and propagates explanations for the existence of the world, anything other than the reality of God. People make fools of themselves to pursue this path, but such has been and is presently the theme of what some call so-called education, Romans 1:22. To believe God and the biblical record, and to accept the proven scientific evidence, we see purpose and reason and hope. There is dignity, there's happiness, there's oughtness, there's morality, and there is future. Fundamental to the religion of Christ is, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. And friend, it is this same God that sent His Son to save mankind from his sins. Man's very spiritual salvation is inseparably tied to the records of the origins as God has revealed them. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.